Honey, I'm going out. I'll be back in a couple hours.
You play Farmville and call yourself a gamer.
You said awesome, and I said I hate it.
Okay, so here we go. This is where the extended knowledge comes in.
Don't mind me. I'm just staring at a wall somewhere.
Can anyone afford Benedict Cumberbatch?
That's surprising.
I don't think a human could make those sounds.
Yeah, well, you can do it, though, can't you?
Yeah, I get it.
Hi, I'm Dean.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Jason. Welcome to Nerds Before Birds, the podcast where you'll find reviews, rankings, and general discussion on all things pop culture. This week on the show, we are talking Spider-Man Far From Home, directed by John Watts, and starring Tom Holland, Samuel Jackson, Jake Gyllenhaal, and it is the 23rd film in the MCU and the last in Phase 3. So does Phase 3 go out on top, or does it fall to the depths of Rim of the World?
Oh, all right.
That's what we're going to try and ask the question tonight. Does it soar like an eagle, or does it flip the bird? What do you guys think of this movie?
I feel like the stakes are way too high right now.
You reckon?
Okay. It is official. For the first time in history. Holy crap, that's scary. For the first time in history, there have been three fantastic Spider-Man films in a row, which is amazing.
Okay.
Never happened before.
Is that what you think?
You think
so definitely saw like an eagle.
Homecoming, Into the Spider-Verse, and now Far From Home takes the cake.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. It was funny.
I thought you meant Electro.
Thrilling.
I thought you meant Electro. I was like, I mean, good.
Heck no.
Take it easy.
Yeah, you can count to three, right, Paul?
I forgot about the Spider-Verse. Yep. You wang.
So now you're all on board with what I said.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was so good. So fun. Well, and I feel
do you not count like Infinity War and Endgame as Spider-Man movies?
Because I know Spider-Man's like,
not Spider-Man movies because Spider-Man's not in the title.
Would you call
it's not called Avengers, Spider-Man's
would you call
Endgame.
Homecoming an Iron Man film? Because he's in
Jason.
It's like the Uncle Ben of this franchise. So
But it's not called Uncle Ben Man.
Because
then he
Man.
Just die like every day.
Okay, I see your point. But would you not refer to Captain America Civil War as Avengers 2.5?
Sorry, what?
Captain America Civil War is kind of like the Avengers 2.5.
Yeah,
right?
You know what, Jason? I see your point also, but it's terrible. Yeah. So we're just going to move on.
Okay.
Do you call Age of Ultron an X-Men movie because Quicksilver's in it?
Exactly. It is an X-Men movie. Thank you for proving my point.
Best X-Men movie ever.
You're welcome. Age of Ultron. I feel like I just got played.
Yeah, completely.
Hang on a second. I feel like you're insulting me, but I don't know how.
You're insulting my intelligence, but I'm not intelligent enough.
Yeah, I'm too stupid to realize. But stop it somehow.
Anyways, getting back to this movie, Paul, what did you think of Spider-Man Far From Home? Does it soar like an eagle or flip the bird? Where does it land for
look,
you?
Look, it soars. It definitely soars. But if I'm being truly honest, I feel like this one fell kind of flat.
What?
Yeah, fair enough.
I didn't think it was that good.
What? Yeah.
I thought it was predictable. I thought it was boring at times. And to be brutally honest, it didn't feel like a Spider-Man movie.
No.
Yeah. I think, what do I think of this movie?
Being serious. I'm being dead serious. I'm not joking.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's just not a joke.
I understand that. I think as soon as you take Spider-Man out of New York City, it seems weird. And I don't think it works as well. And that was my problem with the movie is it just didn't feel like a Spider-Man movie for me.
It felt like a more advanced version of Agent Cody Banks 2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah,
so
that's
what it felt like. You guys didn't really like this movie much.
Believe me, I wanted to like it. I don't think anyone on this podcast is a bigger Spider-Man fan than me. But
I don't understand how you
didn't like it.
But okay, we'll get into this.
We'll get into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Through vicious mockery. And
what
look,
did you
Jason
think,
really hated it, as you can tell. I'm so glad I get to edit this one.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, so I'm
can
crying
you just
about
ditch
it.
The baby?
It's my inner voice right now.
What do you think, Jason?
Okay.
I agree.
For me, I had a blast. I thought it was so fun. I enjoyed the whole thing, and it was a good movie until the very, very end. And the last two,
Jason doesn't agree.
Yeah, because I just didn't think it was the best movie. Like, it's kind of like I feel like MCU as a whole, they have this knack for bringing out just mediocre movies, and it's unfortunate because I really wanted to like it as a. Well, no, because it's just, it is kind of a mediocre movie. There's a lot of things to like.
Yeah, but when you say the MCU have a knack for bringing out mediocre films, like five out of like 23 movies is not a knack. That's just
Come on, there is occasional more than five trip. That are mediocre movies. There's like, well, Captain Marvel is one. Then we've got...
Ant-Man's 1 and 2.
Ant-Man 1 and 2, definitely.
Iron Man 3, first Captain America.
No, Iron Man 3. That's exempt.
And
Black Panther.
Here is kind of a point that has been made for me, kind of, thank you, that this is all relative. And
where you think
MCU trips is where I think it excels. And I think this is
so going to be... So you really like Ant-Man 2 then?
I thought... No, shut up. But
you like Thor the Dark World?
I really liked Far From Home. And I feel like even though we all kind of none of us are saying that this movie flops, right?
No.
But...
it doesn't flop. It's like right in the middle. It's like...
Fair enough.
It's perfectly mediocre. It's not a great movie.
It's an emu.
Yeah, exactly.
And I perfectly disagree with you, but we'll... Yeah. This is going to be fun.
So you don't think it's good, Dean?
Perfectly disagree. It's when I hear what Jason's saying and then I disregard it perfectly.
Choose to disregard it. Yeah.
That's exactly it.
But before we get into spoilers, I just a quick little thing that this podcast is sponsored by our by Patreon. So if you go and you go to patreon.com/nerdsbeforebirds, use our code, which is your name, your credit card email, and how much you'd like to pledge.
Your credit card email? You have an email to your credit card?
It's credit card, comma, email. Etc.
You will get 20% off your next podcast listen.
You'll get 20% on if you... You'll add 20% if you select $1 a month.
And that will really help us, though. Like, it does really help us if you can contribute to the podcast. That'd be great.
We're looking at sort of upgrading this whole operation into something a little bit more we're all in the same room kind of thing. Just put it out there. It's a free podcast.
I think really what we're going after, like one really exciting thing that we want to get to, is actually breaking even. So if you can help us with that.
That'd be nice.
That would be nice.
Wow, what's that?
We have been going for a year now and we haven't broken even yet. So that's a goal for next year. That's fine.
It took ages for Steve Jobs to make his first billion. It'll take us the same time.
Yeah. But roughly. We do have other incentives on there. We do have early access to episodes and we have a few different bonus incentives. Like we'll give you a shout out in the podcast if you are chucking in a little bit more than $1 a month. But we also have our goal of 50 patrons, which is still up there.
Really?
And Paul's going to watch The Conjuring. So that's pretty exciting. So
yes.
I feel like that's passed.
Yeah. What?
No, it hasn't.
That's passed.
It hasn't because we don't have 50 patrons hasn't. Yet.
We haven't got 50 patrons.
No, but did we put a time limit on it?
No,
did we?
No, we didn't.
Damn it. You've got to put a time limit on it.
Yeah, you should.
Come on, Paul.
Yeah. Getting back into Spider-Man Far From Home. Do we rate it? Do we think that it's worth seeing at the movie?
Yes.
You've got to see it. 100%. If anything, go and see it for the post-credits alone.
Yes.
Those two make up for it. Those two are like a star in their own right.
That's one thing that I did like.
Probably, and that's probably why I came out of this movie loving it as much as I did. I thought it was a really good movie until the post-credits scenes come up. And that's like, it just puts it on a whole new level. Some of the best post-credit scenes in any MCU movie, in my opinion.
I agree with that.
I agree with that. I think the post-credit scenes are great, but I don't think it makes a good movie. I think it kind of makes you walk out and go, hey, that was a great movie. But in retrospect, when you think about it.
I don't think post-credit scenes make you a good movie, but
Alright, he's up.
I'm not bitter or anything.
Personal
just,
attacks.
It's like the post credit. The post credit in Spider-Verse was like Spider-Verse was an awesome movie. That post credit scene was so good.
It was so good.
It just is that what you're saying? These post credits were like for this movie for you, Dean?
No, I'm thinking. I think it just more these post credit scenes more than. I think any since like the first one, like first Iron Man with Samuel L. Jackson, Nick Fury, more than like any others, I think this gets me excited for the future of the MCU. The things that they're setting up in these two post-credit scenes. Honestly.
The thing that works for me with the post-credit scenes is that it actually, it sort of changes the movie a little
bit. Yes.
And that. I liked that aspect of it, and it kind of gave the post-credit sequences meaning again.
Yeah,
where like it's been a long time since we've had anything that really mattered in a
like
post-credit.
Howard the Duck.
And this isn't like a rile up. This isn't like some we're trying to get you to say for some stupid Captain America talking about ways.
Genuinely good.
This is genuinely good end credit scenes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
Anyway, so we're going to get into the plot of this movie. We all sort of recommend going and watch it. And I suppose if you are a Marvel fan, if you're not, I'd just wait for it to stream, to be honest. But
this is a good dropping off point.
Yeah. But yeah, for anyone that doesn't want to hear any spoilers, we're going to jump in right now. So jump out for you. But otherwise,
whip away.
Away. Yeah. Flick onto another one of our episodes.
Yep. Or jump over to Patreon and see how that's
Rim
going.
Of the World? Yeah, maybe listen to Rim of the World because that one you won't care too much
about.
That
is fantastic. Oh. Exactly.
Yeah.
We're doing you a favor.
That's a terrible movie.
So you don't have to see that movie.
All right. Let's begin.
So
let's get into this.
We begin in Mexico and we have Nick Fury and Maria Hill.
Agent Hill.
They arrive. Yeah, Agent Hill. Okay. Mm-hmm. They arrive and we have one of the elementals and it is like the earth elemental that is destroying the city or doing stuff. Is that right? It's the earth elemental, right?
Doesn't it just open on... Hang on. Doesn't it open on the city already destroyed?
Yep. It's already been destroyed by the... what they call a hurricane with a face.
Which is
the wind elemental. The air, like the airbender. And
that's right.
Then,
Voltron.
That's it. And then.
Right.
So they go to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
They go to Mexico. Yeah. They find all these details out.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it does actually arrive. Like it comes into play because then Mysterio arrives and he's like, you got to get out of here kind of thing. You shouldn't be here for this.
I think this is a different elemental. So this is like, so the wind one has come through and destroyed it.
Okay,
and then like off screen, Mysterio has dealt with that guy. And now the earth guy shows up and that's what they're present for.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because
Exactly. Yes.
Yep. You're welcome.
We agree.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's not going to be much of that, but okay.
I'm glad we segued for that. So there's an earth elemental.
Okay, after all this crap happens, we cut to a very beautiful yet poorly made.
We haven't even established what's going on here. So they meet Mysterio, and Mysterio's like, hey, you guys should get out of here. So we immediately know that Nick Fury and Agent Hill
Jason, his actual line is, you don't want any part of this, okay?
You don't want any part of this. That's what it was.
Each line in this movie, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Correct. You don't want you don't want any things of this? Then it cuts to a very poorly made, really poorly made Iron Man's.
We have the Whitney Houston song. You're forgetting the song. Like,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So it's a beautiful song. As soon as this happened, actually, I was like, this is an odd song choice to have start this movie because it's like straight after the credits because we have the cold opening in Mexico and then we have like the credits come up.
Hot opening.
And then we have the Whitney Houston song. What is it? I Will Always Love You or is it?
And I.
Yeah. You don't have to sing it. Please don't.
There's pigeons. Oh my God. You're shut up.
No, stop. And we have the beautiful beautiful tribute to Iron Man, to Tony Stark, and
love how they use there's an image in there, like after maybe a second or two of like star wipe, ripple dissolve, all of these terrible transitions, then there's literally an image that has the Getty image watermark behind it.
Yeah, it does too. It is awesome.
I'm glad, like I'm really happy that the guys who did Rim of the World had more work after this.
They were so impressed with what they did.
Yeah, it's MG's opening sequence that he created for this.
Now, so this is the school news broadcast.
Yes, it is.
For Peter Parker School.
Yeah, so obviously it's kids that have made it.
Now, this section poses a question for me.
Yes.
Because they literally have footage of all... Also, hang on. Okay. Problem number one with this movie. Why the hell are they calling it the blip?
Yeah, where did that come from? So, yeah.
What the frig is that? Why don't they just call it the snap? Literally, they've called it the snap.
Have they called it the snap? Did they call it the snap?
Yeah.
For people that haven't seen it, that's the new name for the snapping. It's basically called the blip.
Did they call it the snap after everyone came back?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
No. It's still the snap. They still disappeared, didn't they?
Well, yeah, so what if the... Using, I actually personally, I kind of enjoyed it. I think it was like it's putting a more like it's no longer the looking at it as like this dark, horrible thing that everyone's getting so caught up about. It's happened. They want to move on, and they're kind of trying to make it. I kind of got the sense that they're trying to make it a lighter than it actually is, for the sake of people within. Yeah, more for the sake of them being able to move on.
It's a concept that is quickly thrown out, this whole blip thing, because nobody's like emotionally scarred from the events.
No.
It's like they disappeared for like 5 years and like nobody seems to even be affected by it. Like it's
problem number two. They literally have footage of the band members coming back in their original point. Is that what happened after the snap?
No, isn't it when they're disappearing?
No, when they come back, because they were on the basketball field, the court, basketball court, and then midway through a game, half the band comes back in the middle of the court. Here's a fun thing. What if you were on a plane? Is that true?
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's like a documentary about a few people out there that they're like, he was on a plane and he had the snap and he disappeared and then I never seen him again. I just never seen him again.
Yeah, what an absolute bloodbath that would be.
Yeah. Well, it's unfortunate.
There's like 20-something thousand people in the air at any given point.
Everyone coming back was definitely also a big ordeal. Like, imagine it's 5 years. So, you know, people that have lost loved ones have moved on, and then suddenly their partners.
Like, some kid is 5 years older and now putting the moves on your girl.
Yep.
I found
your younger brother is
him.
Now older than you, that kind of stuff, which
I like
that.
That
was
funny.
But yeah.
I found it very, like, imagine like how emotionally scarred those people are. Like the brother that is older than the now younger brother kind of thing. You know how that whole thing works. But, there's just nobody in this that has not been snapped, it seems like, because like MJ seems like she's the same. Well, she's the same age.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Is it Ken?
A core five kids have all been snapped. Yes.
It's like all the main. Oh, no, Ned, sorry.
Yeah.
I said Ken. I don't know why I said Ned. That's why I said, it's Ken.
That's because the actor's name is Japheth.
Sorry, what?
I was going to say it's because the actor's name is Jacob.
Jacob, yeah, exactly. You can see how I got him mixed up.
Anyway,
I think it's because it's Zendaya. I don't know why, but I sort of seen Zendaya's name and then I mixed them all up completely. Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
So while Jason's having a senior moment, do we want to move on?
Yeah, I'll move on. So they're talking, they're giving a little brief, and then basically it cuts to Peter and Ned, and they're super amped about going to Europe for the holidays. Peter says to Ned he's got like a 5-step plan where he's going to like, you know, put the moves on MJ, and in Paris they're going to kiss, maybe.
Yes.
And then, you know, after this, MJ comes over and is like, what are you doing? Peter, human, friendly neighborhood, awkward child, just says absolute crap about. What does he say? What's the excuse?
Collecting spoons like a grandma.
Collecting spoons like an old woman.
Yeah, it's so random.
Yeah.
The excuses he comes up with, but it's perfect for like an awkward teen. Like, it definitely makes sense.
I kind of loved it because it's like, yeah, my grandma collects spoons. That's actually kind of funny. And
this is one of the things that I didn't really have a problem with. Mm-hmm. Like, all the sort of high school sort of elements were fine.
Yeah.
But, but the Spider-Man elements are the things that let the movie down, if that makes sense. And that shouldn't be the weakest part in a Spider-Man movie. I
fundamentally disagree with you there, but we'll get to that.
I'm sure we
actually
will.
Oh, maybe this is like one of those weird story arc like recurring things, because you guys aren't big on Spider-Man 2 either, are you? And it has...
Wait, which one?
Tobey Maguire. Spider-Man 2.
No, I like Spider-Man.
You liked it? Okay. Oh, it was Paul.
I haven't seen it in a while, but Paul watched it recently and you said that you hated it, right?
Because Spider-Man
story... I like
story.
It for the memes.
Yeah.
Spider-Man,
like, 2 and this movie kind of share similar Spider-Man story arcs, where this time around, Spider-Man doesn't really want to be Spider-Man and can't deal with the pressure of being Spider-Man and wants to just have a break and be a normal kid, basically. Which is very much like, you know, in Spider-Man 2, he just gives up being Spider-Man full stop.
Can you relate to this as a superhero?
I don't
want to
go... Yeah, as a superhero, I hate being... I hate being Spider-Man. I just want to be me, man.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I totally get...
I hate people.
I hate saving people. I just wish they'd just die.
Yeah. Stop getting in trouble, you
losers.
I have been
saving this podcast for a year. I'm over it. And so...
That's why the plea for Patreon is so strong.
Because I want you guys to be supported after I'm gone. So...
Yeah,
So if you live in Sydney, you're on your own.
So anyways...
Good luck.
We have Oh, what's his name? Ned. We have Ned, and he's like, let's be bachelors on this European vacation sort of thing. But straight away, as soon as they get on the flight, he ends up falling in love and ends up having a relationship with Betty, which is pretty awesome.
Also, I kind of finally figured out who Betty was. Because I was trying to figure out who she was, like who the actress was, this whole movie.
Yeah.
Black Mirror.
Hmm?
What?
Mirror. She's from Black Mirror. But no, the thing I know her from, also her name, like Angouri Rice or something. Sounds like an Asian dish. But it's...
Oh.
Oh, just... Yeah.
It does.
Poor like that one. She's the daughter from The Nice Guys.
Yeah.
That's I had no idea.
I just Googled it then.
She's also in These Final Hours as well, which is like that depressing Australian movie from a few years ago where it's like
the
end of the world.
Is she in Oz?
Because she is.
What? Yeah, she's
an Aussie. She's an Aussie.
Oh, get it.
That's Aussie.
So
the number one Angouri Rice podcast in Australia.
Actually, we're Ben Mendelsohn. Thank you very much.
We're Ben Mendelsohn for life. That's why we got the tattoo.
Ben
right?
Mendelsohn, yeah, that's for sure.
Well, actually, no, I disagree. Yeah. I kind of think
you didn't get the tattoo.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't, because I'm sorry, but I'm jumping off the Mendelsohn bandwagon.
Yeah,
Mendelwagon. Goodbye. It's
You're no longer a Mendelsohn.
I'm no longer a Mendelsohn. I am a man of mark. I am Marky Mark Hamill.
Because
we have a new number one fan. Thank you, Mr. Mark Hamill, this week. giving us a like for a tweet that we tweeted him in. It is something. So...
Anyway,
Mark Hamill, if you're listening.
Yeah, basically. But getting back to this, so
getting back to it.
Also have Ame at the homeless shelter that she's setting up, and this reminded me. I know it's in the comics, but it reminded me of the game, the Spider-Man PS4 game, which is pretty awesome. And
that's right.
There's a whole thing with the homeless shelter with that.
Do not trust the CEO guy, the manager.
Never.
That's true.
Spoilers.
Even if you haven't played the game, just don't trust him.
Just don't trust CEOs.
Yep. Even if you don't have a PlayStation.
Which I don't think we're not even introduced to the CEO manager, right, in this?
I don't think it matters, to be honest.
Does that mean that Happy could be the CEO manager, though?
Let's go with that.
Okay.
So anyway, Aunt May's hosting a gala at the homeless shelter. Spider-Man's there.
No, we need to stop and figure out who the CEO is. Okay.
Spider-Man is there in his rad ass Iron Man style spider suit. Mm-hmm. It looks cool. Kill mode is not activated, which is probably a smart play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then afterwards, they go back behind the curtains after they did a little speech, blah, 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 blah. Peter is still awkward. Happy rocks up saying that Nick Fury is going to call you. Then Nick Fury does call him. And then Peter's like, I'm not going to talk to Nick Fury.
You do not.
So Peter doesn't talk to Nick Fury.
Yeah.
And then Happy has to talk to Nick Fury. And then there's like a little bit of a montage of Peter sort of dodging and ghosting Nick Fury. Mm-hmm. Kind of like that, you know, you make that friend, but then there's like the friend's friend who you just somehow are friends with now. And you're like, why are you still talking to me? Can you go away? That's kind of what Nick Fury is like.
Yeah, I call him Paul and Dean.
Wow.
But,
No, because I'm his friend, but you're here also.
Oh, right.
Oh, okay. No,
No, I was confused friends because I figured like, I thought he was saying that we were friends of friends, but then I was like, that's weird because that means that Jason has more friends. And I don't believe that at all.
Not at all. Have you met him? You've listened to 60 podcasts. You can agree
with
us.
We're doing him a favor.
Patreon reward. Get Jason some friends.
Oh, nice. Thanks, guys.
You're 50 welcome, subscribers.
That's from the heart.
50 subscribers, we get Paul to watch The Conjuring. 100 subscribers, we get Jason friends.
Just one.
Oh, man.
Don't get too carried away. They're off on their school excursion. They jump on the plane and you've got everyone there and Ned and Peter sitting next to each other. So he tries to move seats and get next to MJ and that fails spectacularly. And he ends up sitting next to the teacher instead.
The teacher. Mm-hmm. I love this actor.
Yeah.
He's so funny.
I'd completely forgotten from the first movie, but he's brilliant.
He's great.
Yeah, I forgot.
Martin Starman. He's from Silicon Valley, by the way. He plays Guilfoyle.
Is he really?
He's also from...
Yeah, dude. He's honestly the funniest thing on Silicon.
What else is he from? Yeah, he's in an episode of Community, which is the...
Yeah, he's in a lot fantastic. Of crap.
He was in... Yeah. I'm not sure if you ever saw Adventureland, which is actually a fantastic movie with... I was going to say Mark Zuckerberg. Oh. Not Mark Zuckerberg.
Lol.
Oh, yeah. It's, what's his name? Jesse Eisenberg.
Jesse Eisenberg. Yeah. That's the one. Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah.
Great
and,
movie.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
I have seen that a long time ago, though. I don't remember much of it. That's with Kirsten Dunst. Not Kirsten Dunst. Kirsten Stewart, right?
Yes.
She's in that.
And Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. Great movie.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Mm. Anyways, so getting back to this movie. They're traveling to Venice and they're on a bus and when does he get the glasses given to him? Who gives him the glasses?
Nick Fury. In the car.
Isn't it the lady? Oh, yeah, it is Nick Fury.
It is Nick Fury.
Yeah, no, sorry. Yeah.
Either in the car, on the boat, or one of the traveling scenes to and from somewhere. Yes.
Yeah. How good this movie was, because I don't remember any of it.
It was great, because I remember all of it.
Okay, Dan, where did you get the glasses from?
Yeah, where did you get
Nick
the glasses
Fury
from?
In the car. I just said that. I freaking just said that. Nick Fury's car. Are you an idiot?
Are you sure it's Nick Fury?
I feel like he had the glasses beforehand, right, but no, that doesn't make sense because
Wikipedia.
Look, it's fine.
Because you are making me.
It doesn't matter.
Question myself.
Anyways,
they go to Venice.
Fury meets
they go
Parker
to Venice.
And
water
gives
there.
Him Stark's glasses. Boom. Okay. I'm sorry.
Wait. What?
When? Wikipedia confirms Fury gave Peter the glasses.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Thank you for
Well, we're specifying everything else. Why the frick not?
Anyway, they go to Venice. It's lovely. They're going to go to the hotel. It's garbage. It's underwater. That's Venice, so probably it's going to be underwater as well.
Yep.
And they start going out on the town.
One of the most disturbing moments in this movie is actually in Venice when the teacher is he's taking a photo and he drops his camera into the water, and myself having my own DSLR and that. Oh, that I like died a little when he did that, and I just like it was painful to watch. It's kind of like that video that was going around that they had of the guy cleaning
his 5D. It in the sink,
In the sink, and like with a sponge disgusting. And everything. I was like, just a monster kind of move.
I hate that video.
Oh, it's so brutal.
See, this was kind of problem number one, sort of as well. Like I was like, if he was dropping it straight away, that's funny. Doing the fake out, then dropping it, it's like, now we're just doing slapstick for the hell of it.
No,
now.
I loved it. I thought it was hilarious because it was like playing up the joke. It's like, oh, and then great. And then you think it's over. It's like, boom. I thought it was fantastic. But there you go. Fair. No, that's we have our own taste in comedy.
Exactly. Look, I'm not going to mock you for it. That's fine.
When neither like
you also
I'm
like
not
season
say,
eight of Game of Thrones, so
look,
that says enough.
Look, I'm not going to. Okay, let's do it. I wasn't going. I wasn't going to belittle your taste, but I guess
I wasn't belittling your taste.
Oh, okay. No, it's fine.
Anyways, so we're in Venice. And the water elemental shows up and it's creating all kinds of havoc and destruction and stuff. And so we have like a nice little scene of Peter trying to stop it, but also be sus about it because he doesn't have his suit. He's left it back in the hotel. And
that's right.
So like he's trying to save the day and save a building at one point. He's trying to stop the building from falling down. And I'm like, why? What is like there's like it seems was, like there's no one around
because
right?
people were running around underneath and so it was
was there
from, yeah
oh, okay
and then he just hung on to it a little bit too long he couldn't have seen, he was keeping Venice safe, he was doing good on it.
But that was also quite funny.
We have Mysterio shows up and saves the day and he sort of gets introduced to him in the action scene sort of thing, and he's like, I can help out in some way. And this is where I was like, what exactly can Spider-Man do against these things? Because clearly Mysterio can control it with his like powers of sorts and whatnot. And it seems like Spider-Man just is out of his league against these kind of things.
It does.
Because they...
Against things that are inherently not sticky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And exactly.
He's lost his Peter tingle.
He kind of like gives him like the crap job. It's like kind of like when, you know, you're cooking with someone that's infinitely like a much better cooker than you. It's like, oh, what can I do? Oh, you can butter the rolls.
Do you want to butter the rolls? Yep. Okay. Cool.
You're doing a great job.
Can you just dip the strawberries in the chocolate, please? That'd be excellent. Thank you so much.
Could you just put that in the bin?
Would you like to peel the carrots?
It's like that Avengers, the big Avengers fight scene where it's like on the ground, you've got Hawkeye, Cap and Widow. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Nice.
And
then you pan up and you've got like Hulk, Iron Man and Thor literally killing hundreds at a time.
Yeah. Bringing down like the massive beast things.
I honestly, that's how I felt like when like they were like, oh, we need Spider-Man. We like, and later on, he's like, why don't we get the Avengers? And they're like, oh, Captain Marvel is unavailable. Doctor Strange is not an option. Thor is off world. Like at what point are they thinking that a 16-year-old kid that shoots mechanical webs and has quick reflexes and sticks to walls, why do they think that he can fight like a lava and wave monster?
I'm going to jump in like, and
okay,
I feel
jump
like,
on in.
No, but I feel like Hawkeye is like, is he not available? Like
he actually would have done something.
Hawkeye. Yeah. Wait, are you saying Hawkeye could do a better job than Spider-Man?
Where's Wanda?
Wanda
would take care of that in like 20 seconds.
Where's Black Panther? Where's the Hulk? Literally anybody else. Like I love Spider-Man, but this is the worst move.
I get what you're saying, Jason, but I kind of think, and it's kind of established in the movie that Nick Fury has the same opinion as you. I kind of feel like he's only getting Spider-Man in because Tony Stark obviously regarded regarded Peter Parker as someone with great potential and left the glass.
Yeah, maybe he's the last person left he can manipulate.
Yeah. There's you can read. No, that's wrong. I'm not even gonna suggest that. That's right.
What was that? Yep. Like that's fine.
That he's like one person that he can manipulate. Also, the end credits scene kind of changes things as well. But I feel like
it does. But I don't think it justifies his stupidity.
I think it's one of these things where it's like I don't trust Spider-Man for this job, but Tony Stark did, and I'm gonna go against my better judgment because Tony might have had a point that I don't see it.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Okay.
I kind of get that. That's the kind of like where Fury is with this decision. And then also Mysterio, I'm thinking, puts in a good word for, you know, his own reasons and tries to
Maybe it was more like Mysterio is going to be the big gun on this fight, but Spider-Man's there as support. Like, he's there to get people out of the way. He's there to like minimize the collateral damage.
In the background, Mysterio is obviously campaigning for Spider-Man to be there as well because he wants something.
Yeah, obviously he's got his reasons, but I kind of like, it just seems just a bit, I don't know, because in every other like Avengers movie and everything, and with Tony Stark, he justifies him being there to an extent, but he's always very protective of him, if that makes sense. Like, you think about Civil War when they first introduced him, he's like, you come show up just to be there, but I don't really want you to be involved because I don't want you to be in danger at any point.
But even I kind of feel like post-Endgame is where, because it was always the relationship between Stark and Spider-Man was always one of, you know, you're like a son, you're like the... Yeah. You know, my flag bearer, when I die, I'm going to pass the mantle on to you, that kind of thing. And that's what he literally does. And because like he has access to all of Stark's tech now as well, he actually has more of an advantage over Stark because he actually has natural superhero abilities as well.
Yeah.
Plus the Stark tech.
And I guess once he realizes the true threat, which we'll get to, he then uses like that kind of tech to build a suit that works with his natural abilities to make him. Right.
And we see him kick butt and we see him, defeat the villain in the end. The way
At this point in the movie, this is when with Nick Fury shows up and he gives him Edith, which is the glasses, and he gets access to basically all
even
the
even dead. I'm the hero.
Yeah,
which is an epic name.
Yeah,
I love
it. So he gets access to the new AI, which is basically all of Tony Stark's tech. He can pretty much access any of it at any point in time. He has full control, which is awesome. And he also gets given a black Spidey suit while they're on the road in
a
bus.
Later. That's after this.
Yeah, we're skipping across.
Okay, great. Let's do it.
We've covered Venice. Yep.
Are you sure we went into enough detail? I think we could go back.
Well, they go to Prague.
Do you want to? What else do we?
No.
I don't know. Like maybe we're in. So Ned almost dies in Venice.
4 hours in the opera. That's gonna be fun. Fun part of the podcast.
So they're on a bus and they're traveling along and they take a break somewhere.
Yep. Prague.
And he gets given a new Spider-Man suit, a black suit, and in this moment, Brad, who is the grown-up
Are we talking about Brad being like the cock block the whole time?
Yeah, well, but I'm like...
Peter's also cock-blocking him. There's a mutual cock-blocking going on right now.
Oh, man.
Okay.
I think like it's weird with his character because I'm wondering why is a guy that's now 5 years older going on a field trip with these guys, because like sure they were originally in the same year, but now he's older, right? He's like
no, he was younger. He was 5 years younger. He was 11.
Yeah.
Right.
So now
okay.
he's in their year.
So they remember him as a kid 5 years younger than them.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay. And now he's the same age.
Why would you remember that?
But that's I know. Hmm. That's what I thought. I was like, if he's younger than them, why the hell does he know them? Like,
where it's like,
repeated 5 years, Jason.
You're like, who the hell's Brad?
Repeated five times. It's a touchy subject. No.
I don't even like people who are a year older than me.
Oh, yeah, wait, I know, that's why you hate me. I thought I'd get there before you did. Yeah, like I thought his character was just, he's really annoying. He's meant to be though.
Yes.
I
was like,
anyways,
he clearly fit the bill then. He met the quota in what he was meant to be. So
he takes a photo of Peter where he's in a position that looks a bit compromising, mm-hmm. With the undercover agent.
Really hot undercover chick.
Yeah. And so like he takes that picture and he's going to take it to MJ and sort of, make him out to be not a nice guy. And so Peter decides that he's going to use Edith, his new technology, to hack his phone and delete the photo before he gets a chance to show MJ, but he accidentally sends a drone strike onto the bus that they're on, and he has to basically protect the bus in some really stupid maneuvers. Because I was like, in the amount of time that he could have, like, you know, like the amount of time that he takes to actually blow up the drone, he could have just said abort mission or whatever to the Edith.
Yep. What?
And then everyone
losing his glasses.
Crazy. But like somebody yelling abort mission on the bus. Man,
what? As opposed to someone like that's jumping around like crazily on the front of the bus anyways. Like he like knocks a guy out in the front of the bus and then he runs down to the glasses, like tries to grab the glasses, and then he calls out about like goats or something.
Yeah, so no that one everyone likes looks goats away. That much.
Nobody likes goats that much.
Yeah.
There's gotta be like one person that like didn't look at the goats and is like, oh, he just jumped out the like escape hatch.
Like, kind of yeah. Instead of losing the glasses three times in the one segment, be like, let's not kill him with a drone, Edith. Please, maybe just hack
exactly.
This is the one time you're gonna let me question whether I like the scene or not. And this is the one time.
We can let you do it the whole time, dude.
No, this is the one time I'm gonna like, you know, say, you know what, you're right, it was a little bit silly. But
it was very silly.
And it could have been done differently. One time.
Yeah.
Nothing one else time. In this movie should change because it's fantastic.
All right. Well, we'll get to that bit. Anyway, after this, they drive all the way to Prague. Prague's having the Festival of the Lights. It's so good. While this is all getting organized, Fury meets up with Spider-Man. And he meets, you know, they meet up with Mysterio. And Mysterio basically says the last of the elementals, the fire elemental, is coming to Prague. It's going to destroy Prague.
Yeah.
It's going to destroy the Earth. If it gets too big, they need to kill it quickly. Yes. Spider-Man then sort of relays a message to Ned and kind of like, we need to keep all of my friends inside.
Yeah.
Please don't go outside. So they get them all free tickets to the opera, which goes for 4 hours, which should keep them all safe. They
and
go
also,
to the
he introduces the whole idea that they're in a multiverse and that he's from a different dimension and all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah,
we, like, that.
We missed.
Yeah,
that,
yeah,
they when, did that way when ages ago.
Yeah, yeah. All right,
in Venice. He's up. They do it in Venice.
Yeah,
I thought we passed Venice.
No. Let's go back and research. Like,
but we're talking about the
detail.
Elementals attacking. Where are we? We're Prague? Prague at the stage?
It's established that Mysterio is somebody that, you know, Peter can look up to in Stark's absence. And he's definitely, when Nick Fury's like basically, you know, ridiculing him and, you know, treating him like crap for almost blowing up a bus, you got Mysterio to
come along and save the day. And he even looks a little bit like him.
He does.
And he kind of lets him wear the glasses at one stage so that he kind of, like, he's like, oh, which when you find out what's going on kind of thing, it makes sense that he grew a beard and everything like that. But it's still kind of dumb. Getting back to the opera, they're at the opera and Peter gets a perfect chance to sit next to MJ, but he realizes that he has to actually go out and save the world. So so he opts to do that instead. And he's like, nah, MJ, I've got to go. And he says to Ned to tell her that he's feeling sick and he's going to go back to the hotel or whatever.
Classic.
She doesn't buy it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So MJ's a little bit too smart for that. So she follows him out and into the city, and we've got all the fireworks going off and it's looking like a really fun happening place other than the opera that looks kind of dead and looks really run
like
down and everything like that.
There.
Yeah. So Ned and Betty, because they're super lovey-dovey in this, which is kind of annoying by this stage.
Speaking of,
it was funny at first.
I thought they were okay. That was funny.
I thought it was hilarious, but yeah. Betty, like, it's just because of how over the top and stupid it was and cliche.
It is over the top and
like,
stupid.
And I feel like it was kind of, I enjoyed the National Lampoon silliness of this. It was very much European Vacation all of the time.
Yeah.
I thought. But,
it Betty, definitely feels like European Vacation.
Yeah, and yeah. I loved it. But Betty, like the Anguri Rice girl, she's playing. Yep. I didn't realize until like 2 seconds ago, it's Betty Brandt that she's playing, as in the character that Elizabeth Banks played in the original Spider-Man series.
Really?
Yes, same character. So in that series, she.
Elizabeth
worked,
Banks was in the original Spider-Man series? Really?
She played Betty, who was the assistant at the Daily Bugle. And,
Of course. So, oh, of course she did too.
Why,
I was
like in this one, she's the school news reporter, but obviously working
at
the
Bugle. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Oh,
that is actually really cool. Anyway,
that's
great. Move on.
Well, anyway, they go to Prague. The fire monster rocks up. And they fight it. The people just leave the opera because I would, in all honesty. And they're in, Betty and Ned are in a Ferris wheel. MJ is kind of just floating around. Yeah, and,
she does.
You know, during the fight, Peter tries to, you know, thwip the Ferris wheel to save them. But it hits something. And I thought my mind was playing tricks when that happened. I was like, wait, what? But they hit something and something breaks away.
I kind of.
And they just keep going.
See, for me, like one of those things where movies can sometimes be too obvious in what they tell you. I feel like this movie does do that a bit with, you know, obviously setting up the big twist. But that moment was like, it kind of left you. It didn't linger on that scene, like that shot for a bit. And so like, is that like, did I just see what I thought I saw? I don't,
it's like,
I'm
hang
not
on,
sure
did
what's
they hit,
going on. Yeah.
Did you just get deflected?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I like that. That was the perfect reveal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
it was.
Was.
And then, it makes perfect sense in 10 minutes. But yeah, I enjoyed that.
And so we see, after the battle, we actually see a little bit of the spider web down in the street, and MJ picks it up with something inside, but we don't quite get a glimpse of what
it
is.
Like a bit of building.
Yeah. So Ned and Betty almost die in this scene as well. They're on the Ferris wheel and it almost collapses and everything. But fortunately, Mysterio's like he decides to do the whole sacrifice move and go in and try and save the day. And he has his big epic line where he's like, I'm going to do what I should have done on my own planet.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
What a hero.
And to save my planet because his planet has died from the multiverse. And that's why he's there to save the day. That they don't really explain how he got there, but that's why he's there.
Ripping the space time.
Yeah. And so he goes in and he uses all of his powers to basically explode. And for a split second, I thought, oh, wow, that was quick for him. Like just becomes this, like, you know, these embers all
bye,
through
Mysterio.
The air.
Here's the problem. Like with Mysterio, because I do, like, I've read the comics.
Yeah.
And you're like, Mysterio is a bad guy. And I'm thinking he's not dead. He's like, there's a lot more going on here. Than there was.
See,
and there kind of was. There's a little bit more going on.
There's this point in this movie, I totally went into it thinking, you know, Mysterio is definitely going to be revealed to be the bad guy. And even though all the, you know, everyone's saying, oh no, we've kind of changed his character. He's a different person in this. It was like trying to make you believe that he wasn't the bad guy, but, then this happens and you actually think he's gonna, like, he actually dies. And it's like, oh, maybe the writers were telling the truth.
Yeah, I always thought he was the bad guy. Like, through the whole thing, I thought he was the bad guy because he's just way too nice through everything. And he's, like, playing it up way too much.
Did you know him from the comics?
I knew that he'd turn bad. That's about all I knew. Yeah. But I'd heard all that stuff saying, oh, he's not going to be bad in this one. It's for the future one or whatever kind of thing. And I was like, maybe, like... But it felt like I knew that he was contriving these situations.
I didn't know how.
But right. I was like, okay, he's somehow contriving these situations. And then I realized he's basically Syndrome from The Incredibles.
Yes.
And that's when I was oh, yeah. Wait, yeah, okay.
And that was a bad thing that he was Syndrome from
The Incredibles?
That
is a bad thing because of the way that he's contriving these situations is very stupid. It's dumb.
No.
Yeah.
I thought it was perfect.
It's so bad. Yeah.
Let's get into how he can driving the situations.
So after they destroy the fire elemental, Mysterio is like, hey Pete, let's go have a drink in a bar. And he sits down with Pete and Pete is like, you know, right, I don't think I'm ready to have this power, this Edith. I don't think I'm able to take on this responsibility, but I can see that you're willing to sacrifice yourself and you're willing to do all this stuff. So here you go. I'm going to hand over all my tech that Tony Stark gave me like 5 minutes beforehand.
That's it.
To you kind of thing. Easy. And this guy that I've just met, I'm going to, like, you know, give it all across to you because that's just what I'm going to do.
This is crazy, but here's my glasses.
Here's my glasses.
Have access to an entire arsenal of Stark weapons.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe.
Yeah, don't kill me, maybe.
Kill me, maybe.
So as soon as Pete leaves the bar, Mysterio has, like, this maniacal laugh moment.
And it's funny.
And I'm like, okay. And then he monologues for, like, 10 minutes to let us know what's going on. And
they give us like 16 different backstories and you're like, okay, give me two. I don't give a crap about Sharon.
I feel like none of his staff needed to hear any of this because they like lived it.
Second time and he's basically only two times that I'm going to let you convince me that
the camera's going up.
Yeah.
Better. Yeah, yeah. I agree. I was like, the monologue thing was a little bit too campy. But the rest of the reveal and everything about it was fantastic. I liked how they kind of...
Well, the bar... Yeah, the bar disintegrates and it's revealed that the entire inside of this bar is a hologram.
It's buff.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something.
And then he...
Buff, in play.
It's fart.
Buff.
I couldn't help but thinking that his whole speech is like... he's basically at an office party and he's like... the person that makes the obnoxious speech that it's like, hey, everyone, let's celebrate this moment. Let's celebrate all our achievements. And I'm going to tell you everything you already know.
Yes.
It's that guy who's getting divorced and he's like still really salty about it.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, it's like, and I work really, really hard. But does Sharon think about that? No. Sharon thinks about herself and a stupid
Maybe
country
what
club.
What we missed is actually him like having a binger with Peter for like the last 6 hours.
He's just a great guy because I remember all your names and I'm going to prove it. Here we go.
You know, Pete, you and me are the same, man. We don't need women. We've got this. It's just you and me against the world, bro.
You remember you from Iron Man 1? You were the tech guy. And I was from Civil War. I was really in Civil War. I was the buff guy. Oh,
the
and
guy,
you were,
the guy yelled at you for doing the thing.
And he just ends with him going, I love you guys.
No, just I like, you guys. Yeah, I love you.
Yeah. We're going to be our own team. We're going to be the Avengers.
After he like has his big monologue, I'm like, what exactly was his plan? Was he hoping Spider-Man wouldn't want Edith? Like,
yeah,
is he going to like convince him that he's not worthy? What if Pete was like, no, I want to honor Tony's wishes and keep it like for myself?
I feel like he probably did have that idea. And when he goes, when he made that line, like, oh, well, that was easy. That was generally, he was surprised that it was as easy as it was. Okay. He was probably planning
very easy
for it to be like, well, I'm probably going to have to convince him a lot longer than this, you know?
Well, I would say he would probably put him in a hol- like he'd do the hologram thing. Like, you know how he does it later on.
Yeah.
And it's hologram scenario after scenario. I'd say it's probably just start doing those scenarios. Yeah, like it'd probably
over
be like
and over
until he goes insane.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If Peter wasn't an idiot.
And basically just building up a trust. Like, oh, actually, this is going to be way easier than, like, man, I can extend our vacation.
Yeah.
This is great.
One of my biggest problems with this is that Tony Stark doesn't have like a precaution for, like, you know, not killing Peter Parker. Like, it's just like, he has to use his actual DNA or whatever to actually pass it along.
That
but
does seem like surely an oversight.
That, yes. Like, yeah, it seems like a massive oversight.
Especially considering how distraught he was after losing him the first time.
Does seem be, like, that does seem like it would be, you know, at least a professional courtesy.
Just some sort of fail-safe. I don't know.
I agree with you there, dude. I agree.
But you know what? At this point, I didn't care because I was having a phenomenal time. I was enjoying crap out of this, obviously. And so I was fine to disregard those kind of things for the sake of stakes.
Yeah. I honestly don't get why he even needs Edith, because he seems to have like infinite power before Edith anyways. So I'm like, why is it even important for him to get
that? He can't call drone strikes, can he?
Yeah.
What? How was he creating all the destruction?
What?
How was he creating all the destruction beforehand?
Oh. Peter can't call drone strikes.
Yeah. Oh, Peter. Oh, Peter, sorry,
It's like, what are you talking about? Peter wasn't doing that before. Anyway.
Just one.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
You do one drone strike, you've seen them all.
Yeah. Since a million drone strikes in this.
So, speeding along, Peter's chuffed that he's gotten rid of this massive burden, and he goes and meets up with MJ, and she's really keen to hang out with him. They go to the Bridge of Death, which is perfect for MJ's character because she's like that Daria kind of emo-y kind of style, which is fine. That's hot. In its
I like MJ in this.
It was cool.
Yeah.
I liked her in these movies, man.
Very, like, they didn't kind of play it up more than they needed to, and they were kind of a little bit self-reflective and, you know, kind of farcical about it. Like, in this, she is literally, you know, commenting on her own character traits and saying, like, yeah, I probably go too far with this kind of stuff.
I'm not good with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, no, we
but
we
even,
know
like, she then says, she does the classic, like, obviously, so basically Parker wants to tell her that he loves her or he likes her or whatever, or he wants to text her. I don't know what the kids do now. But anyway,
texting and scones.
Hold hands at recess or let's play Fortnite together. let's floss together. Nope. That sounds weird.
Nope.
Anyway, so instead of saying that, she's like, oh, obviously you're Spider-Man. And then you're like, and he's like, oh, what? He's like, well, I mean, duh. Like, obviously you're Spider-Man.
It is pretty obvious.
Absolutely garbage at this. and then she then pulls out that section of web that she's found to show him that, like, this is the same web from Spider-Man in New York. And you're from New York, so obviously you're Spider-Man. And then the hologram goes off. And they're like, sorry, what? And then it goes off a few times. And basically they find out that all of this crap is fake. And Mysterio is actually not a good guy.
Oh my God.
He's a bad guy, which would have been awesome if you saw that before the monologue. but that's fine.
Yeah, that's true, actually. If those two scenes...
That would have been a cooler reveal.
That's true, yeah.
Actually, a little re-edit could totally just fix that completely.
So there you go. That's three, Dean.
No, five. Shut up. Okay,
There's a massive section of time, though, between those two things. Like, you'd have to have a different scene.
You'd have to maybe just
doing his monologue and celebrating.
You have to like
his monologue at all.
Like,
cut it out.
Yeah, maybe just cut that. Yeah, kind of that's a good idea, actually. Yeah,
but like, or maybe have him like say, "Well, that was quick," and then cut, and then go to MJ and Peter.
Perfect.
And then
yeah,
they make that reveal, and then you do the whole like, "Hang on," and then just rewind. back to that?
No, we don't rewind. We don't have a monologue. We just skip the monologue. The monologue's terrible.
Well, we cut down.
The monologue doesn't really add anything.
Cut down. No. I liked some bits.
Because he basically, he tells you how it all works later on because he's like doing the whole show and everything.
He's rehearsing.
Going through it.
Does he talk about the bath tech?
Like in the actual mocap suit. And so, like, that would be enough.
Yeah.
Was that an actual mocap? Like, that looks like the mocap that was in the scene.
It was so good
for the animators.
It's so great.
They're going to be like, what? We don't have to edit over this guy's suit? You're like, no. You're like, no. I get to see my family for once. Sweetie, I'm coming home. Have you been fired? No. We're done.
It also puts into question, like, did nobody ask him about his suit beforehand? Like the fact that he has like the clouds in the actual visor of the suit. I'm like, how does he see? Like, I know that it's explained in the comics, but like,
he can just surely look, man, like he can fly and shoot green lasers from his hands.
That's true.
I don't think that matters. It just looks like he's vaping inside a fish bowl.
he's actually a cross between Daredevil and Doctor Strange.
That's right. Just always high all the time. It's fantastic. Yeah,
always, that's my secret. Always. I'm always baked. That's why he wants to fight the fire elemental, because that guy's baked too.
Oh, brilliant.
So anyway, what happens?
So they Spider-Man goes to Berlin. Yeah,
he goes comedy to Berlin. Capital of the world.
Oh my gosh!
Meet up with Fury because he wants to tell him what's going on, and
one of the coolest
sequences. And Fury meets him, and he's like, "Yeah, okay, we're gonna go to our headquarters," and then it's revealed that
everything is fake.
They're both trapped.
I wasn't.
At this stage.
I'll be honest. I wasn't 100% like sold on the whole, can holograms like be an actual threat until this scene, whereas like you saw like the full kind of trippiness of
it was cool,
Mysterio's projections. I was like, this is super dangerous, crazy stuff. So like fully getting
and because he doesn't have his Peter Tingle anymore, he just can't. Like he's just not there.
Yeah.
I don't. So why does he not have his spider sense?
It
I
is
don't
his spider sense. It's just it hasn't been phrased as spider sense yet. That's
yeah, I know. But why doesn't he have it? Why can't he use it? Why can't he just close his eyes and just use the spider
probably
sense?
Probably one of those like coming into his powers kind of thing. Like it comes and goes a bit while he's getting used to it.
I would just say it's more like he's a little bit traumatized from Endgame, and he's out of sync with himself.
The other thing is he never used it in Homecoming or Civil War. The only time I've actually seen him use his spider sense is in that one shot in Infinity War. With the hairs going up. Like we actually haven't actually seen any like actual.
But you would equate his it's just his reflexes.
His fast
that's all
reflexes,
it is. Like
for sure.
Him dodging all the stuff that gets thrown at him in Civil War and him dodging what's the villain in Homecoming? Vulture? Like dodging all of Vulture, his attacks and stuff. Yeah. That would be spider sense. But you're right, like they don't do the cool like Tobey Maguire, like, you know, all the fly slows down and all that.
Because at the same time,
which is
like
cool. It's a cool effect.
People have been sneaking up on him throughout all the other movies. Like, you know, in Homecoming when he runs out of the school and then bang gets smacked straight away
hit by a bus
fair enough.
It's kind of established that it's an on and off thing already, and they're just kind of addressing it now.
He's growing.
I have mixed feelings about this scene where it's like so confusing.
It's so confusing, man.
Yeah, one part of me is like, yeah, it's kind of cool because they set up that disorientation that he's going through, but then I'm like, how does this work? How does any of this work? Like, how many drones does he have, and what kind of virtual reality is? And like the way that projectors work, like I think about the logistics of the technology way too much.
Do you think it went beyond believable?
Which is,
I think so. I think
because I had a similar thought.
Yeah,
I can buy aliens. I can buy highly advanced others like species.
Are
you actually being serious? I thought that was a joke.
But live projection mapping. Too. What's it projecting onto?
Yeah.
Even like, here's the, like, they'd use the example of Stark in that garbage film. No, that wasn't a garbage film. That was
Civil War.
In Civil War. Sorry, I thought it was Iron Man 3. Yeah. Where, but he projects onto a stage or a set.
Yeah.
Well, hang on. What are the drones projecting on?
What's he projecting in that scene? What's he projecting his parents onto? Yeah, you're right.
He doesn't project onto anything, but I think it's just so... it's almost a throwaway moment in that movie when you think about it.
And they don't, like, they're taking it as, like, the big threat in this. But see,
yeah,
the thing
and that's where, like, the technology, it just, it's not believable.
What about, like, the nanotech suit that Iron Man's going around in Infinity War?
I can pretty much buy it.
You can buy a nanotech suit.
It's not that it's real.
Yeah.
But it's more the fact that it's like you can kind of easily explain it.
Yeah, you can suspend your disbelief for that kind of thing. But you can't. I can't do it for this.
The entire character of Vision, but you can't buy.
Yeah, but it's explained.
Yeah,
they explain it how they don't explain how this works.
Are you serious?
It's just it's a projector that is super real.
Yeah.
That's not how that works.
That doesn't make sense. And then also there's inconsistencies with, like, you know, they've got like guns or whatever that create the destruction that people see.
Yeah.
And then that would also be breaking the beams of light that they're projecting every time you have a bit of debris.
If it was the technology that we had to our, like, you know, available to us at this time, then yes. But
that one I would say is like if punches the ground, the drones that are controlling the arm just shoot the ground
or fire a rocket.
Yeah,
something.
No, that's what I mean. But like it's very inconsistent to like the like it, just the way that it kind of I just don't buy it. It's like too much.
You can
suspend your disbelief to a certain extent, but I just can't. Go that far. Like, it just seems too far.
Yeah, I think that, there's too many other, like, all the tech that Black Panther has is established here.
Oh, yeah. And it's so stupid. But it's only like one or two things. Like, they're not like, this is the big thing.
Okay.
Like, this is the thing. Like, it's doing it through a whole city. In London, like it seems far-fetched.
Thousands of drones doing it.
There are a lot of drones.
There are a lot.
He couldn't have done it. I guess that's why he's limited to like small areas in that first initial wave before he
and
gets
then
Edith.
He gets all the drones so he can do it at a bigger, like that's all established. That's like, I thought they did a pretty good job of, you know, grounding it and making it, like obviously it is ridiculous, but it's ridiculous in a believable way. I kind of like at this point. I was like, I'm fully accepting it.
I think that's where we're sort of separating, and that's where like you either buy into it or you don't buy into it. And if you don't buy into it, you're not going to enjoy the rest of the movie.
And if you're not sold on the movie at this point, you're not going to.
It just starts falling apart.
It just really falls apart quickly. Yeah,
I'll give you this though. The later on scene when he confronts Mysterio.
Mm-hmm.
I think is honestly one of the best
good.
Scenes in the entire MCU.
Yes.
Nothing tops that. It was excellent.
Or
it was
like
so cool.
Jumping through and using his...
I loved it. I loved that so much.
So good.
And it looks kind of like the Ben Affleck Daredevil when he's like, he's like getting the sound reflections of the... It was just clear. It was great.
Yeah.
Epic. Loved it.
And then
we'll get to that bit.
Yeah. The
that
freak
does
out at
cool.
the end.
Yeah.
With the... Twist.
Oh yeah, that was like, bah. Wait, what? So cool.
Yeah.
We're gonna get to it.
Yes.
We're gonna get to
it. Yeah. So in Berlin, he like basically he tricks him into running in front of a train, and he gets hit by a train in Berlin, and and you think that Spider-Man's dead. Apparently, not really. Nobody actually believes that Spider-Man's dead. But Mysterio thinks that Spider-Man's dead because he just hasn't ever heard of the Avengers before and that, you know, that he can survive those kind of things. Like,
Hang on, fair.
Not going to confirm the kill here.
There is no record of an Avenger being hit by a train and surviving it. So, we know, trains
Hulk?
Could be...
Did Hulk do it at some stage? Did
get
the
hit
Hulk
by a train?
Do it at some? No, he got hit by one of those like massive creature things in the original Avengers. Like he does, like
but they're not as strong as a train, though.
But yeah, trains,
clearly,
they're probably deadly. We don't know.
Probably not.
Yeah. But he crawls up from the side of the train. He's not looking good, and he hops into the train, which thankfully no one's on.
And he passes out.
Yeah. He passes out, and he wakes up in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
With the nicest people on Earth.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty funny.
Who are in the jail. Like, he wakes up in
the jail. He speaks English.
Too, yeah.
Welcome to Holland. And then even like he breaks the jail open and leaves. And then even the cop's like, are you guys all right? And they're like, yes. And they just close the door.
Yeah. Then, it is pretty funny.
So basically he gets out of the jail. He calls Happy and he's like, I need your help. Happy rocks up. And they have a little powwow, and Happy sort of reinforces to Parker that Tony was a mess. Everyone looked up to him, but he second-guessed everything. Mm-hmm. He was an absolute mess of a human, and, you know, no one's going to live up to Tony because Tony couldn't live up to Tony. Yeah. So don't be Iron Man, be the Spider-Man that Tony saw. And like Dean said earlier, this is honestly a fantastic scene because he then, like, you know, pulls out the suit creation device, and it's all holograms, and he puts his hand inside the hologram. And AC/DC starts playing.
I
love Led Zeppelin.
I do love
so good.
I love that line when he's like, I love Led Zeppelin. And I was like,
yes.
Oh, that's so brilliant.
There was actually like, he was a funny kind of callback. Like, there was a line someone was like, oh, you know, if you don't say some callback to the whole Star Wars references.
So something like, you know, Stark says you wouldn't understand that because this isn't a Star Wars reference.
Yeah.
But I forget what they're talking about. But that's fine.
I can't remember what the reference was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, brilliant.
So they fly to London, where they realize they're in London because that tool bag of a friend is streaming. And they're like, they're in London. So they go to London. And all the kids get on a bus in London, and they're going to go on a lovely sightseeing tour.
We know that at this point, Mysterio is trying to kill MJ because he knows that she knows about him being a bad guy. And he's also trying to kill Ned, and Betty, I believe, is also on like the potential.
Yeah, because he said Ned might have told his girlfriend Betty.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's gonna try and kill them, and also Nick Fury might be on the chopping block,
probably
because he's there overseeing this whole thing that they believe that there's gonna be an elemental arrive in London because they're seeing those pings arrive, like or whatever it is, the radiation pings or whatever.
EMP.
What is it, like?
It's
EMP?
An EMP.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
So.
Yes.
They're on the bridge.
They are on the bridge. And we have, I think, and I'm probably, people are going to disagree, but I thought it was a fantastic, this whole sequence really was just fun to me. Like the whole thing on the Tower Bridge.
Look, I know we're pooing on this movie a lot.
Yes.
Just take it easy for a sec.
Okay.
Did you guys think the VFX on this movie were subpar?
I didn't mind them. There was a few shots that were like really bad, but then
compared to Homecoming, I thought that this was a step up. Really?
No, I went the opposite.
No, I think Homecoming's better, but but compared to Black Panther,
these
are really good.
Like there was a lot of times where they weren't, it just didn't look like they were comped into the scene properly. To be honest, what I would equate this sequence to is, do you remember when they released that bridge scene from Deadpool as a proof of concept before the movie was greenlit?
Oh, yeah.
It looked like that.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that was good, but no.
That was awesome, but it didn't have the polish.
It doesn't
I don't think this movie had the polish.
Yeah. I think, but I feel like a lot of these MCU movies, they kind of like, they fudge through some of the CGI and except for like the big tentpole ones, like you have Endgame and you have Infinity War where they've done like fantastic work on it. But then you have things in between where like Captain Marvel and
Black Panther
are like terrible CGI budgets. I feel like they've just sort of. Just quickly got,
or they just they use the same shortcuts that they know,
which
pay off.
That whole I didn't realize until I watched that corridor video on it, but that whole final battle in Black Panther, they shot that like, what did they say? Like the editing, the VFX department had like 4 weeks or something to work on that.
Yeah, it was something ridiculously.
Yeah, and so they were obviously using every shortcut that they could, and they actually.
I think the script department had the same time limit too.
Man, Really
hate that movie.
It's such a crap movie, man. It's so garbage.
But again, I think that's a downfall for that movie. I agree with that, but I like Black Panther.
No, I love it. I love it way more when they take their powers away and make him useless and sick.
All right. Coming back, like different.
I like that.
Different anyway, tastes, different Spider-Man. MCUs. I might like Spider-Man Far From Home. You might be wrong. So,
Yeah.
But we all know the real answer. So, they're on the bridge, and basically, Spider-Man's plan is if he can dive inside the projection. Let's just leave that sentence where it is. He can kill the drones doing the projectioning. So he does
which is a thing that I'm like, why has he never gone through a projection at some point?
Because like it was established. Remember in the in the big battle in was it Prague?
Berlin.
Prague. Yeah. He's like, oh, Spidey, don't get too close. Like, you know, it's dangerous, but don't get too close because I don't want you to accidentally step inside my projection. Like there's
that's right.
Yeah.
And so obviously
he didn't accidentally fall in though, at any point.
No, I feel like it's planned so that no one accidentally steps into the projection.
Yeah.
That's right.
But so again, he's not buying into this, but I fully am. So
on purposefully steps into the projection.
Mm-hmm.
He does. Drones and stuff. So he sets up a taser web and knocks out a good chunk, which starts to choke the simulation and it all sort of freezes. Yeah. Mysterio is above the London Bridge. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what the hell, dude? So basically he orders all the drones to kill Peter. And there's a really cool sequence where Peter's whipping around, doing really cool aerobatics and some cool tactical moves and killing drones and stuff. It's kind of like that scene in Iron Man 2 where Iron Man and Rhodey are trying to kill all the drones. And that's really cool. Only drone.
We also have, just before this, we have Nick Fury. He's talking to Mysterio and he realizes that something's up because Happy gives him a coded phone call where he's like, could be deceiving or something like that.
And Mysterio's acting is just garbage.
Completely.
It's like, oh, that's some bull crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he gets Agent Hill to go to the top of the building and she has a rocket launcher. And she's just going to basically just be Overwatch for Nick Fury just in case anything goes wrong. They realize at the last moment that there is a drone about to shoot Nick Fury and she takes it out just in time sort of thing. So he realizes, obviously, Mysterio is not the best person.
Not a good boy.
Yeah, not a good boy.
He's a very naughty boy.
He's been a
naughty boy. He's not the Mysterio. He's a very naughty boy.
So we have that scene where Spider-Man's taking out all the drones and he's trying to get closer and closer to Mysterio, and a bullet ricochets off one of the drones and Mysterio gets hit and he falls to the ground and he's there dying.
I think when Spider-Man's attacking the drones, one of them spins around and shoots.
That's right. And so he's just there and he's about to die. Mysterio's about to die and he's saying his last words and Peter comes up nice and close and then his Spidey sense tingles and he realizes he gets his Peter tingle and he realizes that it's not Mysterio that's dying. It's actually a fake hologram projection and Mysterio is about to shoot him in the head and he does this really cool maneuver where he grabs the gun and moves it out of the way.
He just grabs thin air.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, what? And the window beside him explodes and you're like, did he just get killed? And then no, because he caught him and it was awesome. And that whole sequence is
phenomenal.
Epic, and I love it.
It is really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Especially because
for sure.
at first, you kind of think it's like, oh no, they're going to have another cheesy, just talk out while Mysterio is dying. So we've seen that before, but it's like, no, we get one last hurrah.
Yeah.
One last little twist to the
and
story.
And even like you get a cool, I think the reason I like it so much is because he's using, like, it's a cool fight scene because he uses the environment.
Yes.
He's not just like running around ducking. He's like grabbing drones and throwing them into other drones and then using the drones as shields and then throwing more drones at stuff.
Yeah.
And you're like, yes, also, this is cool. This flows.
It's a scenario where every single one of his powers and abilities, including this spider sense that he hasn't been using very often, comes into play. And it's like, it's so important that, like, it's basically in this moment, no one else could probably bring down Mysterio but Spider-Man. Really.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Because no one else has the Peter Dangle.
But yeah, so at this point, he gets Edith back and he's like, I want you to execute them all or something. He says that line, like actually says that line, because he wants the like to stop all the
yeah, it says like execute all drone protocol, and he's like,
yeah all drone protocol, but contingencies and she's like, do you want that? And he says execute them all, and I was like, be careful with your words here, because it just seemed very weird that he actually said that line, and we find out later on why he said that line. But I felt like Edith is, she's kind of like Siri, where you need to be careful with what you say. So I was like, what if she just turned on everyone in that moment when he's like, yeah, execute them all. And it's just like,
holy crap.
Just like takes out everyone in London.
That is actually like, back. Imagine that for a, well, yeah, similar Ultron. Like if Edith or, you know, what's the, whatever the other one is, like if basically Stark's tech turns on everyone, just like goes too far.
Yeah, Jarvis. Well, it's not Jarvis anymore. No, what is it now?
Friday.
It's,
Friday.
Yeah, that's right.
But
yeah. So is he captured? I don't know. Like, what happens with Mysterio?
He dies.
Next?
He dies.
Does
he?
Yes, he does.
Does. Yeah, I have a theory.
Because it's it is very vague.
Yeah,
because
he's dead.
Yeah. And I think it's purposefully left a little vague.
Yeah.
Quick little cutaway where you see Mysterio's man at the computer copy something to a drive and then just yeet out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once that's done, then, you know, he reunites with everyone. Happy they days. All head back to America.
He meets up with MJ on the bridge and he has his moment where...
Yep. Without a mask, because no one else in London is looking at the bridge.
Yeah. Of course. Of course.
Idiot.
And also, like, MJ is clearly just into Spider-Man. And I was like, come on, she doesn't really like you for who you are. She just
that's right, man.
Spider-Man. So, she wants know, the that's Peter a fault. Tingle. Yeah.
I think you guys are, like, reading into things here, aren't you?
We're just salty now.
Yeah. Oh,
anyway.
You guys, I don't want to say, you know, you kind of sound jealous. A little bit. She doesn't
jealous that we don't have superpowers. Really, Dean? Do we sound jealous that we can't climb walls?
No.
Super strong and quick web?
Jealous of
and
MJ?
And get hit by trains and survive? Like, come on.
I was like jealous of MJ. It's like, oh, she doesn't really like you, Spider-Man. What? Not like me.
We love Peter for Peter.
We love you, Peter.
We love photography skills.
We like you for you, Peter.
You're missing you, out on something really great with me.
Anyways, they go back to New York and it's lovely. Betty and Ned are broken up because it was a holiday fling. Mm-hmm. MJ and Peter are together and it's great.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where it ends, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the end of the movie. And then we have a few shots of him going through the city and he takes MJ for a ride and she's like,
oh, yeah, that's right.
Freaking
never do that
out.
Again.
and he drops her off right in Times Square. At the same time, we see a news report come in. Well, it's end credits, but then mid-credits. In the mid-credit scene, we have a news report come in and we have. The best part of the whole movie, really.
J.K. Simmons.
Yes. J. Jonah Jameson.
Thank you. I forgot
you said. Which is like it's what every fanboy wanted and fangirl, I imagine.
It is definitely fan service, but
J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson was the perfect casting. And to bring him back and just ignore that he was in the original
they're not
movies.
Ignoring like, anything. It's just confirmation.
Well, yeah, they're
that
acknowledging
Spider-Man
it,
exists.
But they're letting it slip that he's playing the same role again.
Yeah,
but
which is perfect. He was the perfect, perfect. Role for it.
He was great. So he, much.
I thought this made the movie better, but mm-hmm. it doesn't redeem a lot of the factors that are going on.
I disagree, but only in the fact that there's nothing to redeem because it was a fantastic movie anyway.
Oh, yep, no, that's good. What he does say, though, is also interesting. Mysterio releases a message saying that Peter Parker's one behind all of this, and it's got that line, execute them all. And then reveals that Spider-Man's true identity is Peter Parker, and that's where the mid-credit scene ends.
He's Mysterio's blamed everything on Spider-Man for London. But what I kept thinking is, like, Mysterio's kind of the only consistent where all these elementals have been showing up, because nobody really knew that Spider-Man was in Venice, and that's he definitely wasn't in Mexico.
That's very true.
So, like, it just doesn't seem it doesn't seem like one of those things is going to stick for very long.
At first, it seems like it's a massive game changer. But also in the fact that, like, they've kind of reset or, like, you know, I guess, re-geared the J. Jonah Jameson character a bit. So it's more like InfoWars. What's the guy's name from InfoWars? He's kind of like, he's playing it as a bit of a parody of Alex Jones from InfoWars.
Oh, Alex Jones.
As opposed to more of like the Daily Bugle publisher, like head of publishing kind of thing. And it's basically like just fake news, his whole thing.
Right, yeah.
And so it's like he's trying to like do like really, you know, controversial information, which obviously is you think, well, actually S.H.I.E.L.D., like, you know, all those guys, anyone with, you know, proper CCTV footage can go in and debunk it straight away. So it's like, I think
for sure. And I mean, like, even in general, people know that Spider-Man fought alongside Iron Man the stage in Endgame. And like, they know that he's part of the Avengers. Mm. So it just seems very far-fetched. It seems like he's a stupid character to even believe it.
They even call it a controversial news site or some news blog.
Oh, that's true. They do too.
Yeah. So it's like, it's definitely, they're trying to like parody InfoWars there. But it's fantastic.
I did love seeing him back in it, though, J.K. Simmons.
So good.
And then after credits, we have Nick Fury and Agent Hill driving along, and they get a little bit of stuff on their face or whatever. Something happens.
They turn into Skrull.
Yeah, they turn into Skrulls. And we have Mr. Ben Mendelsohn.
I'm sorry for myself. I apologize for what I said before. Like, I'm
the Ben Mendelsohn.
I do like the Ben. Yeah, we are Mendelsohns. Like, you know, Mark may have liked us on Twitter, but I'm sure you can do better. You can come on our show.
Yeah. You could come onto Twitter for
you can
us.
Come onto Twitter. The Twitter.
But yeah, so Fury was always like a problem for me in this movie because I felt like he was inconsistent in it. And I get what they're trying to do because, like, he is a different character because he's obviously a Skrull in disguise. Yeah. And we find out at this point that the Skrull's actually working for Nick Fury and he's on a vacation in their ship and he's having having a lovely time up there, but he doesn't really want to come back pretty much.
What are they doing up there? That is the question.
But I kind of think that Nick Fury in general, like, well, not Nick Fury, the Skrull, what's his name?
Talos.
Talos. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, so I found that Talos is like kind of a bit stupid because, like, he has access to the whole S.H.I.E.L.D. database, right? And he could have just done a quick, like, Quentin Beck search and found that Quentin Beck actually worked for Tony Stark.
But he's not the science guy.
And created the augmented reality. Yeah, he's not the science guy. That's true.
He's not the tech guy.
But there's a lot of people that
the
work
science guy
for
got fired
S.H.I.E.L.D.
for sure, 'cause he's garbage.
Here's the question. And with the whole team of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents with Nick Fury, do you reckon they're actual S.H.I.E.L.D. agents or they're also Skrulls in disguise as part of Talos's team?
Let's go with that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, that would justify how stupid they are. So, okay.
They have been...
We can go with that.
Yeah. They've kind of been established as being a little bit stupid. in the universe already.
That's fair.
They have been established as that.
But fantastic. So, and hilarious.
Why would you give them all that access to all the stuff? Like,
it is pretty funny.
Then it means that Nick Fury is even stupider for like, all these guys in charge.
Or he just doesn't care anymore, which is also very understandable. He's been gone.
Yeah, I suppose he has been in the blip or whatever for 5 years. Ooh. So
also, right. I think I figured that out with the blip terminology, why they're going with that.
Yeah.
Because the snap, I feel like the snap is still called the snap, but that always referred to the first snap, right? And then you have the second snap. Are you going to just call it the second snap or like the snaps? Like you kind of want a blanket term for the whole 5 year debacle, and that's what the blip is.
I did have a term for the whole 5 year debacle.
Yeah, what was it?
Snap.
It's not the snap. No, because does it make sense? Like, because the
does
snap.
Does a blip make sense? It doesn't. None of it makes sense. Like,
well, what would you have called it? And don't say the snap. Don't.
But it was already called that.
The first snap was called the snap. But
yeah.
Endgame happened and reversed the snap. So what do you call them coming back? Do you call that the snap as well?
The snap is the all-encompassing event.
But it wasn't. No,
Why not?
Up until the endgame, because the snap was the snap, the one point in time. And then the endgame came and reversed the snap.
I don't care that much, to be honest. I just,
I'm enjoying
this. What if they called it the snip? Combine the two.
Yeah, snip. There we go.
After the snip, there weren't that many people. But before the snip, there were heaps of people.
If you've ever had a child, the snip is definitely something else.
Well, there's always less people after the snip.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
So, that.
Yeah.
Dane.
This snippening.
Snippening.
What are you giving this movie?
More than you guys,
out of birds,
I'm sure.
Where are
yeah,
we at?
What are you giving it?
Yeah.
I love this movie.
You'll do an Aaron on us and you'll be like, one and a half birds.
Yeah, that's right. I hate it. It's garbage.
No, I absolutely love this movie, guys. Don't listen to Paul and Jace. Well, you know, they enjoyed it, but it was... I'm giving this a solid 4 birds. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, what?
Really enjoyed it.
No way.
Yes. Wow. Way. That's massive.
What did you give Into the Spider-Verse?
Probably two.
Four and a half?
Really? So you're saying
I gave it 4.5.
On
and a
the
half.
Same level. I'm sure it was only a 4, but wow.
I gave Endgame 4.5, but I also gave Bumblebee. Wow. I gave Bumblebee 4 stars. And this I enjoyed.
No.
I enjoyed
this is the decision we made.
Oh. I enjoyed this more.
We
than,
made the decision to have 5 stars. 5 birds. Bugger me.
Dean made the decision to have 5 stars. We go by birds.
Hang on. Hear me out. Justification for like the
okay.
And it's similar, like, so Empire have the same, you know, the star system. And it's like, so 5 stars, excellent, outstanding movie. You know, it doesn't come up very often, but man. It's a must see. 4 stars is
great movie.
A great movie, yeah. And it's like 4 stars is kind of like, you know, a lot of movies are great movies.
We still don't do stars, but yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying like this is what Empire does. 3 stars okay. is good. Yeah. 3 stars is
it gets
good
above average
or great. No, good.
We know how, 4 stars we know
is
how
okay.
the system works.
1 star is avoided all times.
Like,
so
what
even
do you get?
Two
what's
stars.
Your point? What's your point?
So this is a great movie. That's my point. So it's a 4 bird movie.
it gets really convoluted. That. The more movies you do, but you only limit yourself to 5 rating. Like if we were doing 10, that obviously doubles it. And it would make it a little bit easier
because
to
we,
give
then
us
we
like
did
like
a half.
10 because it's, you can halve.
It's kind of actually funny.
10.
Literally every single movie we see, suddenly all your previous ratings are kind of like, you know, in flux because
right. where
so, do
they
fall?
Are
where
gonna,
do they fall?
Are we
exactly.
going to draw a line in the sand and make it out of 10 birds now?
No, that's a stupid idea, no. Jason. What the hell are you doing?
But, Dean, you've given it 4 birds.
I'm
that's
it 4
a
birds.
Valiant review.
Or 8
Jason,
out of 10.
What
is, it's a review.
Yep. Jason, what are you
no,
giving
Paul,
it?
Paul, what are you giving it? What are you
oh,
giving
I'm going to give
it
like, I don't know, 3.
Ah, oh, there you go.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, I'm giving it 2.5. It is definitely
shut up,
it's
Jason.
Not it's not a great movie. It's how can you give it 4?
I can't believe
4.
You gave it 2.5.
I can't.
I honestly thought
I can't
like,
believe you get, like liked it that
I
much.
Thought the
like,
lowest
I loved
I thought
Into
the lowest
Spider-verse.
You would go would be
this
3.
Is,
I can't.
No, 2.5
look,
for sure.
Can I like, point out?
Is, yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that you're wrong because you're totally entitled to your opinion.
Yeah.
But currently on IMDb, and like Rotten Tomatoes is a different story, but IMDb, this movie is ranked higher than Homecoming.
It always will be because there are so many people that are fans of Spider-Man that they just jump in and they'll love it regardless. That is what, like, the like Spider-Man is a great character, but I'm not blinded by the fact that it's Spider-Man. I can just be like, nah, as a movie, it's not very good. It is, yeah.
I agree to disagree. But
and on that podcast ending bombshell.
Yeah. So, well, that brings us to the end of this podcast. If you like the show and you want to support the show, you can visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/nerdsbeforebirds. You can contribute any amount starting at $1 a month, and that will give you access to early episodes and bonus goodies and other incentives. We also have our goal of 50 patrons, as we talked about at the top of this episode. And we will be able to get Paul to watch The Conjuring. So feel free to help us out.
Nah, there's so many better podcasts you can give you money to.
We all really want to make him suffer. Otherwise, if you can't contribute financially, you can help us in another way. And that's by subscribing and writing a review on whatever platform you're on at the moment. That really helps us out.
Caveat to that, if you give us a 5-star review on, I think, what, Apple Podcast is the one.
Yeah, Apple Podcast.
If you give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast, I'll read it out.
Yeah.
You get your own little shout out on this podcast. Like, within reason. Yeah. Don't quote, like, Mein Kampf or whatever, but, you know.
Yeah.
If it's, I'll give it a read. You know, get your name on the podcast. So give us a review and be on a podcast that reaches at least 3 people.
Yes. Yes, that'll
Two. I don't watch maybe two this week. Anymore, so yeah.
All right. Well, we're on all the socials. Otherwise, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, Nerds Before Birds on Instagram and Facebook. Mm-hmm. Nerds Before Birds singular on the Twits. We're pretty active on the Facebook though, so we definitely highly encourage you to join us on there and you know, participate in some polls, some chats and just some general mayhem that happens over there.
Yeah. And next week on the show, we are celebrating a very special episode, and it's been a whole year of us fighting with each other. So it's our birthday special. So I hope you enjoy that episode. Because
very fun.
Yeah,
it's probably gonna be the last.
We have actually already recorded that.
It was a fun episode.
It was a fun episode. So it was nice. I don't know whether we'll be back the week after that because Dean's angry.
I'm probably actually going to have to listen to that episode because it probably will be the only thing that makes me think, oh, you know what? I do sometimes enjoy this podcast.
I
might keep going. We'll see.
Yeah, but like all reviews, don't take it personally. It's an opinion.
Don't take your face
we
personally.
We can have different opinions.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, got him.
I'm so not used to this. I'm so not used to being the angry guy.
The angry one?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you've got a whole week to get used to it because we're done.
How do you do this, Paul? Like,
Dean, say goodbye. It's easy. Say goodbye.
I don't know. It's too much. See you guys later.
It's not nice to be at this constant state.
It's really not.
I don't like being on the receiving end of both of you guys.
Honestly,
right now. You're both,
Jason,
so aggressive.
I'm really, I got to say, I've been really bitter towards you this podcast, and I'm sorry.
We're still going with it.
We can be friends, and
we're friends. It's all good.
Opinions.
Yep.
And I feel
sick.
This is the only mature way to resolve conflict.
Yeah, this
honestly,
is. You're right. Let's talk it out.
Let's talk it out.
How much time do you have?
See you later, guys. Have a great week. I'll see you guys on
the
podcast
tonight, right?
And I'll see you guys, Jason and Dean, in hell.
It's called the "I'm sorry, no, I'm sorry" podcast. See you later.
Yeah.